Hello, everybody. Dave Hodges here, host of the Common Sense Show, and we want to welcome you and thank you for joining us. We are known as the show as, well, we're freeing America one enslaved mind at a time. Need your help, though. We're on Red State Talk Radio, all those podcasts, Global Star Radio Network, KYAH. Yeah, spread the word. Okay, you got a digital platform now with us on it. And we got a great guest for you today. We got Robert Kudla with us, and you know his background. I mean, he's heavily into trading, knows the market upside down, has been executive for Fortune 500, done so many different things, and he knows what's going on economically here, upside down, right side up, and you're going to get the real picture here in this topsy-turvy time, and this is a confusing time. So we want to welcome all of you, but make sure you share these broadcasts far and wide. And all our friends on podcast, good morning to you too. Well, Bob, I want to welcome you to the show. And my goodness gracious here, it seems like every time we talk, we're stepping one more foot deeper into the mess.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. I think we're winning. So, but we have to go through this morass that we're going through right now, because the elites, one of the things that you can always count on with these people is that they're extremely arrogant and sure of themselves. And I think it was Mark Twain said, it's not the things that you don't know that hurt you, it's the things that you're sure of that aren't true. And I think that's what the elites around the world have put themselves in. I think they thought that they can work their way through any problem, you know, either by people control issues, economic issues, and their fiscal and policy types of programs that they have, and every single one of them is blowing up right now, every single one, and their prescriptions now to fix it is there's no easy answer. So whatever they decide to do, somebody that is a constituent of theirs is going to get hurt. And so it's really now a matter of us having to basically watch the death throes, and you know, with in the United States, with the elections coming up this fall, it may change some things. And then, you know, as of today, basically Truth Social is live, and you have hundreds of thousands of people trying to get on board it, which just shows you the hunger for alternate messaging from somebody that I think could speak very crystal clearly to people about the anti-establishment. So I think it's going to be really interesting 6 months, but we're going to go through some pain here. And if you're positioned right, you're going to profit from the pain. If not, you're going to have to endure some pain. And so, you know, the things that I'm looking at right now is we've been talking for the last year and a half about inflationary pressures. Well, they're embedded now. And what's going on with Russia is now complicating that, because Russia is doing something very interesting, is that they're basically embargoing the West and the rest of the world with the things that they have control over. And that's wheat, fertilizer, oil, natural gas. And so they've been slowly ratcheting down the export of products, and food prices are going to become problematic this year. I think I told you this before, but half the farmers in the United States don't have their fertilizer purchased yet, so they're going to be paying far higher prices if they even can get it. And so I think it's going to be a really interesting year in 2022. And then, you know, look at our friends up north. They're creating a situation where people just may just sit down on their thumbs and say, we're doing nothing.
Yeah.
And I think Canada could become, I always talk about Canada being a failed state. I expected it from climate issues, being too cold. I didn't see this coming out of left field with them going martial law. But I think Trudeau basically shot himself in the head. He doesn't know he's dead yet.
Well, that's a pretty bold proclamation, but I happen to agree. I want to go back to a couple of things you said about Russia, and observations I made on my end really parallel what you're saying, and I want to even make it more dramatic. First of all, we're on the verge of going to war with a nation, or at least separating economically with sanctions. with a hand that feeds us. Biden comes in and he immediately destroys energy independence illegally, unconstitutionally, bypassing Congress with an executive order. And then he turns around and says, yeah, we're going to be ready for war with what oil? Because Russia is one of the two top suppliers of oil to the U.S., and we want to go to war with them. And then the fertilizer thing, Bob, I've been talking to farmers, and they've told me that if it doesn't turn around by March 1st, they're going to want to come on shows like mine and call Biden out, because they say that they can't get the fertilizer. First of all, there's a short supply, and that it's going to be so dang expensive that they may be able to farm about a quarter of their land. And what does that mean for food inflation? And what does that mean for food availability? I mean, there's going to be food shortages, according to these farmers I'm talking to. Do you agree with that assessment?
Yeah, and I'm going to take it one step further. So I follow some farmers on social media, and the one thing they can't get, which will have profound effects, is that there's a supply chain shortage of the grow medium that they use to start plants. So like the vegetable farmers and flower farmers, they greenhouse start their crops before they put them in the ground. That stuff's not showing up yet. And it's caught up in transit. And so that's the neutral grow media. That's not soil. That's, you know, like the volcanic rock stuff and, you know, things of that nature, you know, vermiculite and perlite and stuff like that. They can't get it. And if that happens, that means, you know, there might be a delay of people growing vegetables and or try to directly sowing the seeds into the ground, which is you're gonna lose productivity. So there's so many things that these guys screwed up on that it's just gonna make things miserable for people, you know. If you guys have a garden, I would start growing one this year, because you're going to see spot shortages of a lot of stuff.
Yeah, that's really true. And people like Daisy Luther talk about indoor farming. We're lucky here. I mean, there's a few months we can't grow a lot because of the heat where I live in Arizona, but we do have a substantial vegetable garden. And we're praising the Lord every day that we have something like this. The other thing, too, no discussion between you and I would be complete without mentioning China. I'm hearing from people in the medical industry. I know someone that owns a medical distribution company, and he told me that he said, we're not getting psychiatric medications as we should. We're not getting antibiotics as we should out of China. Do you know about that?
You know, you have me there. I've not heard that. I know there's been some supply issues around medical equipment stuff, like consumables, but I haven't heard anything about the medicines at all, but I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah, and this is from a middleman. It's a guy I grew up with, and I just said, well, how's business? And he's in semi-retirement, and his son runs most everything, but he said, we're having a hell of a time getting antibiotics and some of this other stuff. He said, insulin's going to be a problem before much longer, too.
Well, that would be disastrous.
Well, let's say if this does hit the way he was describing, this country will be ungovernable. People will just say, screw you, Biden, we're not doing anything you say. I think you'll see massive work shortage stoppage. I think you'll see work stoppages going on. And I'm just thinking about the progression of when people protest. I mean, we've got the D.C. convoy going forward here in America. I think it's silly. I think they're going to turn it into another January 6th. But I think there's other things they could be doing. But that's coming, too. So, I mean, we've got total chaos. So what does this chaos add up to economically? Is the Canadian situation going to have a real effect? Will the trucks to D.C., will that have an effect?
Well, I think Canada is more of a searchlight that has shown a bright light on basically the fallacy that the West has moral authority in democratic values, that there was always this undercurrent of authoritarianism that's been laid bare, and now it's going to have to be rooted out. And you know, they were always able to hide underneath the bureaucratic cover. But, you know, they've been now exposed, and they're, you know, basically, look, Trudeau went for the jugular on this. So, you know what you say when you try to kill the king, you better not miss. So Trudeau took a shot, and we'll see if he survives it. You know, it's all well and good now, but you know, in 2 or 3 or 4 months, if he can't deliver the goods, that those politicians will turn on him. You know, all the provinces have gotten rid of their mandates, okay, because they fear losing the next provincial elections. And so, Trudeau may have very hostile provinces on his hands, and I wouldn't be surprised to see some of those, the prairie state provinces start talking about seceding again. And I'd be really, in 2024, you know, the country flips back to red, you'd have a very receptive United States government to have take those provinces in as U.S. territories in a heartbeat.
Wow, that's a heck of a statement, Bob.
I'm not saying it's going to happen. I'm just saying that they have leverage. You know, they grow all the food for Canada. They produce all the energy for Canada. And the stuff can't get from China unless it goes through there, those provinces, to get to Ottawa, you know? So they'd have to ship the whole thing around and basically would break Canada into two. And so, the people in that part of the country are livid as to what Trudeau has done. So it's going to be problematic. It's going to take a while because, you know, they're blocking it out and stuff like that. But in these situations, what happens is that there's no trust now in the government. So who's going to take risk, right? Business risk? Nobody. And you know, there's only so many people they could deplatform, right? And try to kill before basically places just shut down. Look at Calgary. Calgary had massive protests. So, I think in the situation where I think that's what's going to happen. That's going to happen here, too. Yeah. I agree with you on the truckers. I don't think we'd learn from these people. The self-preservation of the elites is paramount. Gandhi's always been my idol. So you don't have to fight them. Just don't participate. You know? Don't feed the beast. And they're already... You know, and I think that's probably why some of the Republicans are not stepping out. And I'm not trying to defend them, but I'm just trying to understand them. They think they probably already won, and they don't want to give anybody any kind of campaign issue against them. So I think they're rope-a-doping the Democrats into November and trying to grab power. You know, so economically, look, we're in stagflation now. It was coming. Russia's a distraction. Canada's a manifestation of it. And then what's happening with the Russian exports are just going to keep commodity prices high, and it's going to economic activity is going to slow. We don't have enough workers now to generate productivity either. Okay, so we're kind of caught in a really a 3D web here, right? So we don't have enough workers that have skills to drive productivity. We have too many people now sucking off the system. And we have an environment where it's toxic to take risk. And so you're going to have economic slowdown and you're going to have higher costs. Not a good place to be.
Wow. That's how does all this turmoil affect what you do at Trade Genius with investments?
Yeah, it's kind of perverse. We love it because the more volatility there is, the more money we can make. And I even shot you over at our last 20 trades that we put out to our subscribers. And you can just see, you know, the market's been in crisis mode and we've been killing it. It's just that, we knew this macro scenario was going to play out. We were positioned for it. And then as volatility increases, that means the up and down daily action of the markets just gives you incredible amounts of opportunities.
Yeah, that's... It's a heck of a way to earn it, but it's a way to take advantage of it. I mean, there's, like I said, if the opportunity presents. But what is the main strategy or two that you would use to, say, take advantage of all this hostility that's between the people and their governments now, both in Canada and the U.S.?
Well, look, you know, I think what's going to happen here is that hostility doesn't pay. So what's going to happen is that you just basically have economic slowdown. And so there's the tech market doesn't like this environment. So a lot of the story stocks of last year are down 60 to 80%. And so that's going to continue. A lot of those guys are going to go out of business because they don't generate enough cash. And so we've been long a company called Sark, S-A-R-K. And that's a good one to own. It's basically the anti-tech move. And then social media, as you know, is going to have a bifurcation with Truth Social coming in. And so now you have DWAC is today, DWAC opened up at 100. And so you're going to get these spasms of opportunity with DWAC. We just took profit on it. We bought it at 85. We sold it at 91. We did it last week. And you just keep picking up, you know, 5, 10, 20% trades like that, and you're going to make some good money. But DWAC's a good one to hold longer term. And then on the oil energy side is there's no reason why not to own oil. Oil is going to go to $120 to $130 a barrel. It's baked in the cake. We're not producing enough oil. Biden strangled America. Russia and Saudi Arabia does not care about short-term pain in their environments because they know the percentage reduction in productivity of their fields is being offset by higher oil prices, so they're making more money by producing less. And that's going to continue. And then, you know, the fertilizers tied into natural gas. The idiots in the green movement don't know that. And so fertilizers at a shortage, food prices are going to go higher. So all those themes are in place. And they're just going to keep paying us. And then, you know, you get big moves, you take some profit. You always keep a position on. It comes back down a little bit. You do it again. It's called rinse and repeat. And we have shortages of copper. We have shortages of steel. We have shortages of basically anything with a molecule in it. We have shortages of our day right now. So you just pick your poison. It's going to kill people on the retail end. I'll give you an example. Home prices now, it costs twice as much to build a home than it did last year. Twice as much. It's going to kill the home industry because the builders may be able to build a house that nobody can afford to buy, not even BlackRock. So and auto production is down. Housing production is down. Okay. Insurance companies are going to start losing money because people are dying at a higher rate. What a big surprise there. So the fire industries are going to be in trouble. That's, you know, the finance sector. So the whole thing is going to kind of come in and costs aren't going to go down. And there's something I talked about you for a couple of years now. It's called an inflationary depression. And that's what we're entering.
Inflationary depression. Oh, my goodness gracious. This is a scary time. Do we have anything in our history that we can point to and say there's something similar we can look at to predict the pattern?
Yeah, the 70s is our closest analog. And Biden is literally Jimmy Carter 2.0 in terms of basically he's feckless, but also the policies are using the same policies. And they're going to try to debase our way out of this until it becomes intolerable on food and energy. And then you're going to get another Volcker kind of person to come in there and basically just jam interest rates up to kill the inflation beast.
Yeah, Volcker, the former Federal Reserve chief. I thought I would mention that for those that are too young listening to remember who that is.
Yes,
and I have the aches and pains to tell you I remember. In fact, they called the Carter presidency, I remember this, when Volcker did this, they called the presidency the 2020 presidency. 20% inflation, 20% interest rates.
Hey, we had stickers called WIN, right? WIP inflation now. So this is what happens when the debasement starts. We're going to know we're in the end state when gold, oil, and the dollar go up together. Okay, that's how you're going to know. And so that's probably a couple years off. So we're going to probably go through some pain here until then. And you know, inflation's kind of embedded. And if we lose inflation to deflation, you should be even more worried because that means it was faster than I even thought. And then you'll see the market's down 60, 70%.
Oh, my gosh. But here's what I remember from the Depression, even though there was a huge tumble. There were people that still made a lot of money.
Yeah. I mean, look, you know, it's the Great Depression was interesting, and we're not going to go into a Great Depression like we had before because the banking system was different back then. They could literally take your home for missing a payment, okay? I mean, they could call your mortgage if they wanted to, even if you were current. If you couldn't pay the mortgage off when they on demand, they could take your home. And that's what the bankers did. They took any people that had money in their home but had a mortgage, they stole the homes from them. They just demanded them. And that's what caused the collapse in real estate in the Great Depression. We won't have that this time. It's going to be more the way in which I described it, where people will be working. They just won't be able to afford anything, Dave. And that's what we're going into now. I mean, look, we have a renter in a home that we my wife inherited. And the guy's been on month-to-month with us for now 18 months. He wants to buy a home. He's a wealthy guy in Southern California. But he can't out earn the price rise of homes, so he's stuck, and that's what's happening with everybody. You can't out earn food prices, you can't out earn medical, you can't out earn rent, you can't out earn energy, and so what happens is that people end up just getting into survive and hunker down mode until some of these things break, and so. So that's the analog that I'm using because they're just going to keep throwing money at it, Dave. Ironically, it may not be enough money. That's the weird part about the whole thing.
But isn't there a correction? Excuse me. Isn't there a correction that would take place if a home prices aren't affordable? Don't they have to come down dramatically to meet what people can pay?
You know, yes and no. In 2008, it was yes because everybody was leveraged. In 2022, the answer is no because people are buying homes with cash and they're just waiting it out. BlackRock changed the market. They're not going in debt to buy these homes. They're coming in with the institutional money and paying people a dividend.
What did they gain by doing that? I didn't ever really pick up on their motive.
Well, two things. One is that there was a hunger for that kind of asset to be owned. People want to own real estate, but they don't want to own real estate. So they do it through these REITs. And number two is the Federal Reserve said, hey, we got to soak up all this excess supply from 2008 so home prices don't crash on our banks. And perversely, they turned it into another bubble. So that's why they did it. And look, here's the deal. If you could borrow at 0.5%, right? BlackRock's borrowing from the Fed at 0.5%. They buy the house for cash and they get rent and the home prices go up 1%. You know, they're making the percentage rate of return is astronomical, right? Because they can just go to the commercial paper market and leverage and then sell the homes off when they want to. So they don't care. You know, they're just sitting on these homes. And they can sit on for 10 years. You know, out here in California, most of these buyers now are coming from overseas. And this is money that's getting out of rapidly depreciating currencies from around the world. So they don't care. It's like putting money into a home is like putting it into a bank, right? They have so much money, they don't care, you know? And I talked about this with you before out here in California. If a Chinese buys a home, it becomes a museum piece. They never upgrade it, ever, and they just keep renting it out. You know, you're in Brady Bunch homes in some of these areas where the home still has the 1970s interiors. They don't care.
Yeah, I see them on HGTV. I mean, and I'm not saying that to make fun. I mean, I see that all the time on HGTV, especially in California. And the comment is, this is 1970s stuff, and I hear it all the time.
Yeah, so that's the thing. So they don't feel a need to sell, and it's also a tax write-off, right, because of depreciation. And so there's a lot of advantages for very wealthy people. And a lot of these people don't like the stock market, Dave. So they're used to real estate is the thing they're used to.
Well, the thing that concerns me here, though, is it seems like the number of potential homeowners going forward is going to be dramatically reduced.
It is anyway because of demographics, right? So what's going to probably happen, Dave, is the migration is going to come out of the cities like they have been. That's going to continue. They already said 40% of the workers in New York City said they're not coming back. Eric Adams is freaking out right now.
Well, he's killing him. I mean, he's his own worst enemy.
I know, but he's freaking out because the workers say we're not coming back to the city. We like working from home. So, and they're not helping themselves with the crime and the stupid rules and everything else. And they're telling their employers that we'll literally quit. We're not going back into the city. and not just New York City, it's everywhere.
San Francisco.
San Francisco. And I have friends right here in my neighborhood. They've just retired, and they wanted to move up to the Central Coast, and which is just God's country in California. It's between Santa Barbara and Monterey, and just beautiful country, beautiful weather, beautiful everything. But since this migration's coming out, people, the Bay Area wealthy programmers and stuff like that, they bought up those areas, and so it's become unaffordable. So people are going to have to move inland if they want anything affordable. I mean, look, even Idaho is out of control.
I know that.
And Montana. And so it's just at a point now where people are going to have to be forced into more and more rural areas to be able to afford to live. And so because it will get intolerable, what the guys told me that are from Taiwan, so we have friends here. They said, Bob, you don't understand. In Asia, the price of homes in California are cheap compared to the real estate in Asia. If you own a home in Shanghai or Singapore and you cash out and you come to the United States, they come to California and like, oh my gosh, I can have an ocean view for like one tenth of what my place is worth over there. So they have no problem coming in and just collateralizing their home over there and buying cash here. So it's going to become just unaffordable. We're going to stratify on the real estate side.
Yeah. I want to change our attention to war, because the last time I had you on, I said, what would happen if war broke out? And you said it'd be a catastrophe for the market, for the economy. And I agree, and it'd be a catastrophe for our military, because with stripping the military a quarter of its membership and not having enough oil, and it's just going to be a disaster. But I don't think Russia, and I just want to get your opinion, because I know you have a military background, I think Russia's just piecemealing Ukraine, inch by inch, it's a cinch, like they took over Donbass. And what I'm wondering here, are they just doing this to provoke a settlement to get what they want?
Oh, I don't know. If you listen to Putin, he wants to reunite basically the Russian Empire back.
Right. Exactly.
So, so for him, he'll just do it. He'll just take what he can get as he gets it. And so, the war, I don't know if the United States will be necessarily engaged. I think Biden's getting the political message that there's no way if the Democrats want to lose power for the next 50 years, put the American military in harm's way with Russia, okay? Because we'll beat Russia in a war. There's no question about it, unless we go nuclear, then nobody wins. Russia may have some cool stuff. They don't have enough of it, okay? We can overwhelm them eventually. But the problem is, what is it going to cost us? And American people are already tired of it. They don't understand. We've seen no treasure, right, from the blood that we spilled.
Ukraine's nothing to us. They're not an ally. We have nothing in common with them economically, except some corruption. And so other than that, you look at this, we'll defend Ukraine's borders. They're not a democracy at all, so we're not defending democracy, as they say. We won't defend our borders, but we'll defend their borders in a nothing nation. People see this, Bob. I hear this all the time from my audience, and they're pissed. I mean, they're genuinely pissed that we're even in a situation where war is a possibility.
I mean, look, if you were a real – if you had no moral compass at all, you just looked at things from – is it America's self-interest to be supportive of Ukraine or not supportive of Ukraine? I would say it's absolutely in America's self-interest that Ukraine and Russia go at it without us being involved in it, because we export food, we export energy if we wanted to, okay? And a Russia-Ukrainian conflict would reduce both, okay? And so, from America's standpoint, hey, you guys have at it. The other thing too is, obviously we need to probably, let the Europeans know that we're not, you guys have to step up. You guys have been sucking. That's the dirty little secret about socialism in Europe. We've subsidized it for 50 years.
Right.
Okay. They can have great health care because they have no defense spending. You know, so and we subsidize their pharmaceutical industries, and that's the biggest strategic blunder the United States made. They may have made a pact with the devil here for the dollar reserve currency. You know, I'm not sitting into rarefied air, but from an America First standpoint, is that we've given up an awful lot, and so I don't know. You know, losing the reserve currency versus having, you know, control of our trade. I don't know if we're going to be worse off or not. I don't think so. You know, but the United States has always been governed by the European royalty. They never gave up on the notion that we're us in Canada or breakaway republics. You know, and
I laugh at that. That's so silly.
You know, because that's how they act. You know, with us. You know, the whole thing about the WEF is to loop us back in, right? So. You know, that's why they're sending all their little minions over here to be in charge of the country. They never stopped. So, but yeah, I think war is going to be proxy. But you know, look, this administration, it's a gang that can't shoot straight. So I don't know what'll happen with it. And so I just get nervous for people. You know, people ask me all the time. They say, "Oh, Bob, you were a Marine Corps officer. What would you tell people to do today?" So I wouldn't send my kids into the military. Not for your life. We're a different country. We're now mercenaries for people who don't really love our country.
That's very well put. I totally agree. I gave the same advice to one of my former basketball player's parents, and to no avail. He's now in the Marine Corps, and it's so distressing to think about that, because there's no priority for this administration to protect the military, no, and to use the military in the correct manner and to try to minimize casualties. I don't see any concern coming out. Well, actually, I'll just say this. I don't see any concern from Biden administration about economic welfare, about the future of this country, about the future of the military. I see no concern at all for America. None.
Well, they're right. They're thinking beyond America. They're thinking about this new whatever there is they're trying to create. So
exactly, and that's why we see the nonsense with Trudeau. And you know what is good about Canada? And I've said this, and then I want to get to how if the picture ever clears. But what's good about Canada is Trudeau's shall we say Stalinist behavior that got exposed. Is that we've seen now the facade of Western democracies. There isn't any such thing.
We have no moral authority to tell any other country how to run their country. You saw the president of El Salvador just said it begets the lie that these countries are worried about our democracy. They never worried about our democracy, you know, because they don't even have it in their own country.
Exactly. That's what I was trying to say. Thank you. Well, here's where, you know, back to the economics solely. Carter destroyed this nation. I should say, Carter didn't destroy it. The people that he was told to appoint to his cabinet destroyed it, and they all had common backgrounds. And then you had Reagan come in and turn it around, and then you had Obama undo this country in many, many ways. And then Trump came in and quickly reversed the fortunes economically, particularly with manufacturing and job success of historically underrepresented groups. So is there an answer here for Biden lying on the horizon, or how do you see this going?
Well, I think it's going to parallel Carter, right? So assuming that Joe can make it to the next election, the Democrats will lose the election. And the difference between this time and in 1970s is that the Republicans are going to probably take over in 2022. I think that cake is baked at this point. And so it's going to depend on how much of a – and what they do with it is going to be important. So I think, assuming what I say is correct, I think we won't – the pandemic will be a history going into 2023, because I think guys like Rand Paul are going to go after Fauci hard. And I think the House is going to go after all the people that went after Trump. They're going to put them on defense, you know, in 2023. And then obviously the Biden administration is going to get nothing done legislatively. And if he tries to do things executive branch, Congress can just defund things. So I think it's going to be one of those things where I said people are worried about 2022, and I said the battle is going to be 2023. That's when things are going to get ugly. And then 2024, we'll see what comes out of it.
Do you think we'll see in 2023 the kind of power play from the government that Trudeau just showed?
It doesn't work. It doesn't work in the United States like it does in Canada, because they have a parliamentary system that is more federal in a lot of ways, where in the United States we're a bicameral republic, and we're very much states' rights and really at the county level. So unless Biden can come up with a 3 million man army that he could send to every county in the country to force things, and we know 60% or 70% of the military is not blue, you know, so he can huff and puff all he wants. And the other thing too is, you know, states have banks. There's certain states that have state chartered banks, so they're not tied into the federal system. So you may see a rise of state banks too, where you're just outside the federal system. So he'll have a harder time doing that, especially if he doesn't control the legislature, because then he can just get vetoed out. And judiciary is still nominally leans right, and they probably wouldn't take kindly to, you know, any kind of martial law being enacted.
Do you feel this is an accurate statement that what happened to the truckers and anyone who supported the truckers, a minimum wage lady who gave $40 to the cause, has now had her bank account frozen? My reaction was that would never fly here. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, it won't fly here.
Yeah, I didn't think so either. You know, the Canadians are just learning the art of protest. But do you see the Canadian situation affecting our economy?
Well, I mean, they're tied pretty heavily to our energy and automotives and food. So, yeah, there could be some and timber. So those are the areas in which we probably do a lot of business with Canada. But it's more of a soul-to-soul level. I think the American people have empathy for the Canadian people. And I think we both share the antipathy. If you can read anything on social media, how they react to this stuff. But, yeah, so I think that's the extent it's going to be. It'll be probably an annoyance more than anything else from an economic standpoint.
Well, that's there's so many unknowns with this, though. Where do you think the biggest turn will take place in 2022 politically? Because to me, I think it has an economic impact. Will it be in Congress or will it be in the state houses?
Well, it's going to be Congress first, because the state houses have already gerrymandered. So I think it's going to matter of what kind of majorities happens in Congress first.
Okay.
So if there's a if the right can garner 60 votes, then Biden might as well just retire, okay? Because he'll just be destroyed.
I think he'll get impeached. There's that kind of majority. If this is a veto overriding type of Congress with those kind of numbers, that man's getting impeached for what he hasn't done at the border.
Yeah, well, I think so too. I think the House will do articles of impeachment in a heartbeat. In a heartbeat, just because I think the vengeance is out there now. You know, I think the House especially has felt maligned, and I think they're gonna. I think they'll be impeaching a lot of people. You know, I think Adam Schiff's in trouble. I think the Schwalwell's in trouble at that point. Biden's in trouble. They'll probably impeach Blinken. They'll definitely impeach. They'll go after the Attorney General. You know, I mean, it's just gonna be. It'll be miserable. A lot of people will just quit the Biden administration, because they're not going to want to deal with the heat. Fauci will quit for sure, you know, the whole nine yards.
Yeah, well, a turnover in administration, whether it's in the medical part of the administration or the financial part, that's not unusual when you have a regime change. But I think there's going to be real... I'll give that example with Garland. I mean, here Garland tells school board parents that are protesting, you're domestic terrorists. And then we find out Panorama Education, that features critical race theory that's pissed the parents off, is owned by his son-in-law and daughter, and they're making millions of dollars. And I mean, how many violations of ethics and legal codes are there just with the attorney general? I mean, he could be going to jail. I mean, I think he's a candidate for jail if they lose the House and Senate.
Well, that's the thing. So he didn't get away with all this stuff because everybody could ignore it until the Congress gets. But look, nothing's going to happen unless a Republican takes over as president.
That's true. I mean, case in point, Hillary's emails. Don't need to go any further than that.
Yeah.
Okay, so is there a way out of this morass? Or is it, when you run Trade Genius, do you just have to say, we just got to get used to navigating the volatility?
Yeah, look, for the next 18 to 24 months, it's going to just be a lot of volatility. But you remember, volatility equals profits. So, you know, you could be wrong one day and you could be totally right the next. So, you know, as long as you start understanding the macro picture and just let them, you know, in our case, we just let our algorithms do the work for us. Look, we sat on DWAC for 2 weeks, okay? It wasn't going anywhere for 2 weeks. And we knew True Social was going live, and we got our rip, and we made our 20%, okay? And so we know certain things are going to happen. It's just that if you're positioned right, the algorithm never told us to sell, and we profit it. And then we just loaded up again today. Since you and I talked, we got back in again on DWAC for the next move higher. So all we do is we rely on our algorithm, Dave, and if people want to trade with us, we create it, two algorithms to help people understand how to trade momentum, ranges, and price movement. And we trade the stock market, we trade cryptos, we trade the futures market. So we have a number of different solutions for people to be able to profit from this. I sent you over, if you want to share it with your listeners,
sure.
Our last 20 trades that we've done. You can read the comments from our chat room of how we help people.
And, yeah, I got one right here. Jump in if you don't mind.
Yeah, go ahead.
From Andrew. I won't read these last names, but it says, nothing like 126% portfolio increase. Good day for sure with a smiley face. And then, thanks, Bob Kudla. Sold 141 DWAC for 11,600, which leaves me with 150 shares that only cost me 3,400. So rough math here, about 260% increase. Absolutely incredible. This is the good stuff here. So here, let me go to a couple more here. I can't overstate how nice it is to have a service I'm in alignment with philosophically and make money through these principles. This is pretty good stuff here. It says, when I bought puts in Facebook, LOL, guess the earnings were used to buy drop boxes, but the best thing, all will move to DWAC. Let me ask you a question based on this comment. That one really grabbed my attention from Okibama. That's what an interesting name. But when Okibama said this, it made me wonder, with DWAC coming on, are they going to remove a significant share in profitability from Twitter and the other social medias?
Oh yeah, for sure. Twitter and Facebook they've seen their heyday. It's over for them. And Facebook is a hated company, and even people that don't agree with me philosophically hate them too. So they're just a company that people don't like. They're like the opposite of Apple. And they had Twitter. I mean, look, Twitter, they're going to lose engagements, and DWAC's going to make engagements. So, yeah, so what that guy did was he shorted Facebook, made money, flipped it right into DWAC, and he made money. And that gentleman happens, he's also a Marine, too. So we love when a little esprit de corps happens to our fellow jarhead.
Yeah. Well, I like this next comment the same guy has, Okibama, says, SARC up, and that's an acronym, up 4% in post-market after 5% today. Bob Kudla, thanks for training me on stock pick and strategy. And that's really captures kind of the essence of what you do. Talk about the training that you do for people that come into Trade Genius. How does that work?
Yeah, so what we've done is these algorithms that we've created, we make them available to our followers. So, so not only are we going to give trades out for you, but we actually have training videos that teach you how our system works and how to trade. And our ultimate goal is to make you independent. I mean, if I went away for a month, I would hope that I trained enough of my listeners and followers to be able just to trade as I'm trading. We literally give them the same template that I use, Dave. They have the same access to the same algorithms that I use, and we teach them how to best practices, and the algorithms literally say buy and sell. I mean, we can't make any harder. Next time you and I talk, I'll print some of the charts out so people actually can see it. They laugh, we try to make these things into like kind of one decision kind of things that you don't have to be, you don't have to be a Nostradamus to interpret the tea leaves. It literally will tell you that, basically that the fulcrum is green and you got to trend buy. Well, you know what you should do then? You should buy. So it's as simple as that. And then you set your stops and your targets, and our win rate's 2 out of 3. So eventually, you're just gonna keep grinding out higher and higher and higher profits, and it's basically a marathon. So that's how we teach you how to do it, and then we give trades out every day, and we have a chat room. Obviously, you're reading from it, for people to communicate with me and with each other. And like I said, we also give you access to the system, and then we have a room called the VIP room, where actually people can communicate like you and I are communicating. So we get involved in, like this morning, the stock market went up to 435 on SPY. We bought puts. It went down to 431. As you and I were talking, I told people to get out of half their trade. So people made a boatload of money this morning just trading puts and calls. So we do that in a room where I can communicate more personally, if you will, because it moves too fast just to type these things out or have them sent out on Telegram. So those things that we do. And Dave, we have bundles. They're already pre-discounted 65% off. And or you can just get anything in the store 40% off. Use President promo code, and it's good till Saturday. Was that the 26th of February? You guys will love what we do. We charge modestly for what you get, and you get a lot from us. And a lot of those guys in the VIP room will tell you that probably within the first week or two, I pay for 1 or 2 or 3 years of their VIP pricing, which is higher than normal. We think we have a pretty good service. I've been doing this for a long time. I don't promise Lamborghinis, but it definitely will help you make money in the markets.
Are you still winning 2 out of 3 trades?
Yeah, as of today, let me pull it in here so I can show you, well, I can at least tell you our win rate today as of this morning. Give me uno momento por favor. It's around 64.5% or something like that. Let me see here.
That's pretty close to 2 out of 3.
Of 64.76%
Wow.
and 171.95% annualized gains.
Okay, explain that to me.
Yeah, so we're in a trade on average about 3 to 4 days. So our average win rate, net of losses, we average 1.65% win on all our trades. Okay, so if you annualize that, it's 1.71.95%. So if you're 100% invested trading my signals, you'd be up 171.95% year over year.
Oh my God. Whoa, whoa, wait a minute. When I hear things like our return on investment is 20%, I'm saying that's really good. When it's 50%, it's outrageous. And you're saying right now the return on investment that you're describing here is 171% annualized?
Yeah, and I'm not saying it. I have the trades to show you.
Well,
So,
yeah, I'm not doubting your figures. I'm just saying,
yeah.
am I interpreting this
Yeah,
correctly?
no, you're exactly right. So that's what we do, and we record every trade that we put out, and obviously I put it out on Telegram, so it's locked in. I always put a target and a stop in there, so I can't say I made money when I didn't. You know that game, right?
Yes.
And so yeah, and then if you look at it, I mean, the last time I lost a trade was we've done 20 trades and I had one loss on a trade, and that's it. And so it's a last 30 trades I've had 2 losses. Last 40 trades I've had 4 losses. So we do pretty well, and we're doing better and better at the more volatile the market goes. So my win rate's probably going to go higher. ironically, I don't do as well, although we do well, is when the market's kind of flat or slightly trending higher.
That was my next question.
Yeah. It chops around a lot, so we get stopped out more. So, but in this environment, when people are losing their shirts, we're making a lot of money.
When we talk about this rate of return here, annualized 171%, what's the real time frame we're looking at here for that return?
Yeah, so that's a point in time, but that changes every day with every trade. So just giving you kind of a – but look, from a realistic standpoint, you'll never be 100% invested, right? So I tell people to take a third of that. Let's just say you want to be really conservative, just assume that you're only catching – you know, one out of every three of these trades you're in cash the rest of the way, you're still making north of 60% or 55%.
Oh my gosh.
So I'm just throwing it out at you. You know, I'm never 100% invested either. Okay. So, but I also trade a lot of options where I get even higher rates of return. So it kind of moves around for me. So, but yeah, so it's going well, and it's going better. So we've been waiting for this, what's called a bi-directional market, for a long time. In fact, we're gonna do a T-shirt, Dave. We're gonna call ourselves Bi-Tradables. You know.
And you mean that it kind of refers to the stagflation
instead of, you know, being
I understand.
Binary, you know, we're bi-tradable. People thought that was pretty funny.
Oh, it is. Are you referring to stagflation principles in play?
Oh, actually, we're talking about the market goes up and down now. So when it's whippy like this, the moves are just incredible.
Okay, all right.
Yeah.
No, that makes a lot of sense. But the rate of return is staggering.
Yeah.
I mean, if I went out and said right now, Trade Genius is getting 55 to 60% rate of return, and people go, "Come on!" And I'd say, "Well, on top of that, they're telling their people to hold back a third." that's what's amazing here.
Yeah, and if people, they can just go to our website and just go to our track record, they can see the trades. So,
okay. I'm making a note to myself here. This is, are you getting to the point? Because I got to think this is incredibly popular. Are you getting the point, Bob, where membership is going to be limited at some point?
You know, I'd like to be able to create that environment, but we don't have to because it's, you know, my infrastructure doesn't increase that much to have more people on board. The VIP room, though, gets limited because, you know, you can only have so many people in there to where it doesn't become worthwhile, you know. So we'll probably be closing the VIP room off for new members pretty soon.
What's the advantage of being in the VIP room?
You and I are talking. You can sit here right now and say, Bob, what are you doing right now, this second? You know, Bob, I want to trade options. I want to trade futures. Right now I'm talking to you. My other guy is in there talking futures to those guys, showing them price levels and you know, why to get short or why to get long. And so you can trade options and futures in there. And you can even lift your rate of returns up even higher. So
in other words, it could be like we're in Rome and I'm going to do what the head Roman says to do.
Yeah, and a lot of things too. People come in there and they're just new to trading and, you know, they get to talk out what they're trying to do, and we can warn them off saying, I wouldn't do that if I were you, that kind of stuff. And or I would do this differently, or why are you thinking that's a good idea? You know, because a lot of times when you first trade, you rely on listening to the news, or you see something goes up and you jump it, and those are the worst two things you can do. And so we just help people understand, hey, just wait for it to pull back. Like this morning, DWAC was at 97, 98 at the open, and guys wanted to buy the open. I said, look, wait for the dip. You know, people are going to sell out. That's a big move opening, right? I said, we'll buy back in at 87.50, and I'm not looking at the market right now, but you know, we came down and we tagged it, so we're back in. I just save people $10 on a trade. And so, because people's natural instinct is to panic and to just chase something.
Yeah.
And the algorithms know that, and you know, the institutional algorithms know that, and they just flip you the other way and they steal your money. So you just wait. You know, and that's the other thing we teach people. There's a trade always coming tomorrow, Dave. If you miss trade, the next train's coming. Just wait for it. You'll be just fine.
You know, I didn't know we were going to go this much into depth, that this is where the conversation kind of led us. But I got a feeling here that you're going to see a rush of people who hear this broadcast saying, I got to get into this because we're going to be volatile for a long time, and they're going to fix it for me to be on the right side. Let me give this out here real quick in case we have a lot of people do that, and I think we will. Presidents, plural, is the coupon code to take advantage of the 40% off the non-bundled items. And that offer expires on Saturday the 26th. And with that note, Bob, I'm afraid we're out of time, but this was very productive, and thanks for restoring some hope in at least some segment of the economy.
Yeah, you're welcome, Dave. And look, people, there's always opportunity in chaos. Don't do anything illegal.
Okay. And on that note, my friend, we got to go because we're against a hard break. But thanks, Bob. I look forward to our next time together.
Adios.
Take care.